A scripture for this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. So since we've got our big Disciples Together worship service coming up in just a couple weeks, we're now kind of coming to a close on this whole season of sermons this year, where we've focused on our giftedness, on our identity as God's people, empowered to do God's work. Remembering our identity is hugely important in this world that tends to ask us to be what we're not. We have to remember who we are. And our scripture today, it begins by saying, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our spiritual worship. Anytime we hear therefore, there should be something important that has come before it. And there has been. Before Romans 12 that we're reading from today, that's, there's been a whole 11 chapters from Paul written to the Romans. Important things that remind us about who we really are. Like in chapter 6 where it says, we're no longer our old selves, but we are made new by the work of Jesus Christ. Therefore. Or in chapter 8, 39, where it says that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, our scripture today assumes that we know we are loved, that we know we are made new through Jesus Christ and have been fully incorporated into the body of Christ. So then it says, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If you're asking yourselves, if a letter written by Paul to a church in Rome centuries ago could possibly be relevant to us today, it's a fine question to ask. I've asked myself before. But regarding our scripture today, though it's a letter written to Rome centuries ago, I read that if Imperial Rome was the empire in Paul's time, our contemporary empire is even more powerful. And if Imperial Rome was able to claim devotion and demand sacrifice, the empires of our time have greater power to make those idolatrous claims. Our world makes claims of our time, makes claims of our devotion. We give ourselves to things that are not God. We have to remember who we are and therefore present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. As opposed to offering any sort of animal sacrifice as was common in their time, we're asked to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. There was a preacher who joked about this idea of living sacrifices, and he said that the real trouble with living sacrifices is that they always keep crawling off the altar. We do something similar, like crawling off the altar. when we forget who we really are, when we forget where our devotion really should be. In our text from Romans, the Apostle Paul tells the Roman Christians to take their ordinary, everyday life, their sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is our spiritual worship, it says. Our worship isn't just for an hour once a week. Worship is something that we live out, not just once a week, but every day of our lives. When I was on the mission trip in Guatemala this past March, I found a little devotional book to read on the mission base bookshelf. It was a book by a 17th century monk named Brother Lawrence. His book, The Practice of the Presence of God, is based on this idea that all of life is worship. He started to realize that God was just as present when he was washing the dishes as when he was in a specific service of worship. So he began to work at that and pay attention to the presence of God that was with him. And so he shows us that all of life can be worship, washing the dishes, working in the garden, or when we're working at our job even. All of life can be worship. This isn't unattainable spiritual stuff. We can imagine living like that, I think. If we remember throughout the day when we're at work, doing the dishes or the laundry, that God is there with us too, just like when we're in worship here. And if we then offer our everyday lives up to God. However, we can't worship God by being prideful, or by being unkind to one another, or gossiping about one another. We can't pretend that we're worshiping God with our ungratefulness, or our indifference to others, or our selfishness. It just doesn't work. This hour of worship that we hold dear is essential. It grounds us, we are spiritually nourished, and we do offer up our worship. But most importantly, it prepares us and sends us into countless more hours of worship beyond this place as we take our ordinary, everyday life, our sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and offer it up to God. This week, with our Power of 12, Power of Community focus, we're recalling what a great impact the community of faith can have and what we're called to be and do. There's power in the community of faith and the body of Christ. But powerful communities of faith are made up of people. Individual people like us who devote their lives to God, who work to remember their identity as members of the body of Christ. I heard a story about an Amish community in Ohio, and that when they work together to build a barn, each person has their own individual job to do, a specific job that they contribute to the project so it all comes together in the end. But here's the really big deal about that. There's no boss. There's no supervisor or foreman. No one giving orders or making sure that everyone else is doing their job. So we, of course, wonder then, who's really in charge? Who do we blame if something goes wrong? Who's really responsible? And the answer is everybody. We're all responsible. We're all responsible for using the gifts that we've been given. We have no one else to blame, not the government or the pastor. We're all responsible for offering up our lives to God and being the body of Christ in this world. Part of our identity is that we each individually make up the body of Christ. It's part of who we are as individuals. We are someone who is a part of the body of Christ. We're not just the body of Christ when we gather in church. We can't be. We can't turn it off when we come in and out of the doors. There's no body of Christ in this world without people of faith living as the body of Christ in this world. We are each members of the body of Christ who have different functions, and we must function and be the body of Christ, dispersing and doing what we do best in the world. We make a mistake if we think that being a member of the church is kind of like a club membership, where we have our set of rules and standards and we come and go as we please. When I was a kid, my best friend and I, at the time, Dustin, and I started a club together. It was just the two of us, but we started a club anyway. And though I'm pretty sure, I don't think that we've disbanded our club, as far as I know. And though we haven't followed the no girls allowed rule too well, and we technically haven't met as a club for at least 20 years, still. I was a founding member, and I had a card. It was laminated. Alice McKenzie says that this body of Christ image that Paul uses in our scripture is the perfect image. It's better than a club or a family or team. You can take a break from being a member of a team. You can go on vacation without your family, but you can't take a break from the parts of your body. We are part of the body of Christ. It's part of who we are. Just as we can't take a break from our own bodies, we can't take a break from being the body of Christ in the world. Stephanie and I had some friends from college come visit last weekend, and we were giving them a tour around the church, and we ran into Miss Judy Bev as she was cleaning up after Sunday worship. And we told her what we were doing. We were given a tour of the church. My friend corrected me a little later. We were giving a tour of the church building. We are the church. You remember that old Sunday school ritual, I'm sure. Here is the church. Right? Here is the steeple. You can do it with me. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the doors. See all the people. Life. Love it. You remember. You went to Sunday school, I guess. But really, it's the people. It's the people that make up the church. Here is the church. So let us be the church. Let us be the body of Christ in this world, taking our ordinary, everyday lives, offered up to God. Amen.